This is Bob Fetrakis with The Other Side of the News, brought to you by thefreepress.org. WCRS Community Radio 98.3 and 102.1.
This is Bob Fetrakis bringing you The Other Side of the News. And I'm here in the studio with Jerry Bellow at WCRS, and he's been writing some interesting and alternative stories. Jerry, welcome once again to The Other Side of the News.
Always happy to be here, Bob.
And we're working on a few articles in the Columbus Free Press. One of those has to deal with an interesting report related to the state of Pennsylvania and the FBI. Could you tell the listeners about that situation?
Well, a report written by the Joint Terrorism Task Force out of Philadelphia. That's one of those newfangled anti-terrorism fusion centers that brings together state, federal, local law enforcement on anti-terrorism mission that concerned environmental extremism. And it seemed to be entirely focused on anti-fracking activists. However, it used pictures and events not just from Pennsylvania, but also from Ohio. It showed a couple of unexploded, badly built, total amateur hour pipe bombs that I'm not sure.
Why? Why would they have pipe bombs in there?
Well, apparently somebody found, it looks like, two different badly made pipe bombs somewhere near some fracking well, which the Pennsylvania State Patrol hauled off and blew up. I mean, it did. However, you know, they, because of the amateur nature of it, of the devices, they decided to call them IEDs, or call one of them IEDs, because, well, it was
straight out of Iraq, an improvised explosive device.
Well, maybe they should have
linking terror to the Middle East and Pennsylvania and Ohio.
Well, I mean, they should have called it an AED, amateur explosive device. I mean, like, you know, they also mentioned an incident of a shotgun blast from a pickup truck near a fracking facility in the woods in Pennsylvania.
Which could have been a drunken redneck.
No one's ever shot a shotgun out of a pickup truck in the woods in Pennsylvania before. I'm sure that this is a groundbreaking incident worthy of national attention.
And in the manual report, which I presume was done for training reasons and to inform and enlighten law enforcement, there is a client of mine in there, Madeline Fitch, who has nothing to do with terror, but did engage in an act of nonviolent civil disobedience, chaining herself near an injection well to stop waste from being pumped into it.
I wouldn't, first of all, start with Madeline Fitch has nothing to do with Pennsylvania. I mean, we're on the other side of Pennsylvania.
Well, her picture is in this study, is it not?
Yeah, yep, there she is.
And the group they associate her with, Appalachia First, or is it Appalachia Uprising?
It's Appalachia Resist, which appears to be a coalition of local Earth First groups, focused mostly on protests and nonviolent civil disobedience.
So do they have a good case that Appalachia Resist is a, quote, terrorist organization?
They don't explicitly say it, and they don't have a case at all. You know, they went.
But if you put their name and pictures of people loosely associated with them in a terror, you know, a manual on eco-terrorists, it at least implies it, does it not?
Yeah, that's the point. I wouldn't call this a manual. I would call this an alert or a bulletin. You know, it's obviously part of a set of periodic productions. It's somebody's day-to-day work. It's just, you know, the topic for this time period was environmental extremists. And somehow, you know, your average environmental protesters wound up in a terror bulletin put out of Pennsylvania, even though those protesters are in Ohio.
And they're fractivist, and they're engaged not in violence against property or against individuals, but traditional civil disobedience, trying to block trespassing, minor trespass, and suddenly they're eco-terrorist?
Apparently so, and let's not even call this terror. Let's not even call what the meat of what they put in there terrorism. I mean, who made that? There's nothing to say. There's no message with that, with the pipe bombs that they displayed. There's no claim of responsibility, and I mean, it does not. It is not a terrorist incident for somebody to dump black powder in a piece of pipe that they bought probably at Lowe's or Home Depot. Like, this is, you know, this is not 9/11 material here. This is amateur hour. It looks like somebody could have... Somebody needs to first prove to me that these pipe bombs were not manufactured by the corporations or law enforcement themselves to justify their budget or justify attention. I mean, this is amateur hour stuff, for starters. Second of all, the report drew on nonviolent protesters in another state to conflate the whole thing and then push the idea that there's a continuum between citizen activity, nonviolent protest, and things that go boom.
Uh-huh. Sounds like the Red Scare. This time it's the...
Green Scare.
Green Scare.
Right. I mean, it's...
Guilt by association?
Guilt by association, standard Green Scare stuff. And then I looked a little further into the report, and I'll start with that the report is also to inform something called the Marcellus Shale Operators Crime Committee.
Marcellus Shale.
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 Operators.
Operators.
Crime Committee.
I think I saw that in a comic book as a wee lad.
Well, here's the thing. Marcellus Shale refers to the large geological formation mm-hmm. underneath Pennsylvania, New York, West Virginia, parts of Ohio. Marcellus Shale Operators is a generic term for oil and gas companies that are drilling in that shale formation. There mm-hmm. is no corporate entity, for-profit or non-profit, called the Marcellus Shale Operators Crime Committee. There is no Marcellus Shale Operators
well,
Crime Committee.
Where did you come up with this name?
It only exists in this FBI report and nowhere else. So they're talking about, this report is talking about sharing information with a group that does not appear to have any official existence whatsoever.
So he's talking about sharing information with a non-existent group?
I didn't say non-existent. I said no official existence. It has no mailing address. It has no corporate identity. It has no corporate charter in Pennsylvania, West Virginia, New York, Ohio, or Delaware.
It's interesting because when there was trespassing going on, to keep waste from coming into Ohio in the Marietta area, a oil and gas attorney showed up babbling in court. Connie Goodell Newton, my law partner, was down there. Initially, we were helping out with the defense of these people engaged in civil disobedience, nonviolent civil disobedience, and he kept babbling about they needed to bring terrorist charges against people who would stop interstate commerce. And this raises several questions, including, do they actually define what eco-terrorism is or what their standards are for including people in this bulletin?
Yes, you're attempting to influence the government. That makes it terrorism. Okay. Through intimidation or something.
Okay. So by the standard, of course, Martin Luther King would be a terrorist, as well as that Jesus of Nazareth would be a terrorist.
And Harriet Beecher Stowe and any abolitionist, not just John Brown. And, you know, anybody who's not a official politician or lobbyist, basically. When I looked a little further into the Marcellus Shale operators, first of all, some of the very same companies that seem to give large campaign contributions to Ohio legislatures, and you can read that article in the Columbus Free Press. I wrote it under the title, Who Fracking Paid for This? Some of those companies are, in fact, Marcellus Shale operators. However, not only is there not a Marcellus Shale Operators Crime Committee, there's also not a Marcellus Shale Operators Bowling League, or there's not a Marcellus Shale Operators anything. There is a Marcellus Shale Coalition, which is an industry lobbying group that includes all these companies and companies on their supply chain, including their accounting firms like KPMG and the Pennsylvania Hospitality Association, because those folks are supplying motel rooms to the gas field workers. And now, this has a number of committees, but no crime committee. And it has 15 lobbyists in Pennsylvania, one in New Jersey. And of those 15 lobbyists, one of those lobbyists was former Secretary of Homeland Security and Governor of Pennsylvania, Tom Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
He, in 1 year, accepted over $900,000 to lobby on behalf of this group. And that year was 2010. In 2010, the Pennsylvania Department of Homeland Security put out a very similar bulletin. Yeah, Pennsylvania has its own Department of Homeland Security, and so does Ohio, actually. And it seems like an outgrowth and institutionalization of these fusion centers, where they, you know, put out bulletin number 131, and this is what, these are the events that are going to be happening that you should pay attention to, and people are protesting at Fort Dix about this, and over in New Jersey, this peace group is going to have a protest about that, and Pittsburgh Code Pink is going to have a protest about this.
And what about PETA? Damn you, PETA!
PETA didn't make the list.
Oh.
But they noted in this report that citizens would be attending a zoning, two different zoning committee hearings about...
On the Near East Side of Columbus?
No, but we'll get to that in a moment. About fracking regulations, and that there would be public hearings in two other different cities
so
about...
So this is an official
fracking
zoning meeting?
Yeah, these are where...
And these citizens were actually showing up at public meetings?
Well, no.
Were they voicing their concerns?
Well, it's not clear. No, they didn't report on citizens showing up to voice their concerns. They alerted law enforcement that citizen, that there were issues concerning the fracking industry that citizens might show up to, be alert,
could possibly show up at a public meeting
to discuss fracking and a public hearing,
which is what I thought public hearings were about.
Right, and in that report also noted that there would be a showing of the movie Gasland, and that there should be an alert about that because people opposed to fracking might attend.
Shouldn't that be, wasn't an orange a high level or a red when Ridge used to be? Shouldn't that be like a red alert?
Well, we're talking about a terrorism fusion center sending out an alert
because about a documentary?
About people showing up to watch a documentary. Yeah, that's that actually happened. I have that report. We are going to put it up on the website. Monday. You will be able to download it so that you can either laugh or cry too.
This is WCRS 98.3 and 102.1, your community radio. You're listening to The Other Side of the News. This is Bob Fetrakis in the studio with Jerry Bello. And we're finding out that showing Gasland might get you on a terrorist list connected with the government, FBI, whatever is going on in the weird Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Well, we'll take it one step further. Watching Gasland might get you put under surveillance. Showing up to a screening, a public screening of a movie, or going to a zoning board hearing.
Like at the Drexel, where we, the Free Press,
showed Gasland. Yeah.
Yes. Previewed it.
Yeah. Yeah, there it is. You know, I didn't get a contusion from leaping to that conclusion at all.
This is right out of the Red Scare. Oh, well, the 50s Red Scare. I mean, sort of reading certain books, watching certain movies. Remember the Blacklist of the Hollywood 10. But so going to a documentary film could possibly get you on a domestic terror list.
Or something like that. The showing of the film is of official interest to counterterrorism organizations.
And what are those organizations again?
Well, I mean, so far I've detected a Pennsylvania Department of Homeland Security, the Pennsylvania State Patrol, and I've detected the FBI. I can assume, therefore, that the regular alphabet soup of federal agencies is involved, and I can assume that since Ohio has an Ohio Department of Homeland Security, like Ohio's a homeland, I mean, we are the heart of it all and all, but we have an Ohio heart of it all Homeland Security Department with multiple centers in multiple cities, that there's a similar structure, and it appears to me as though these state departments of Homeland Security are sort of outgrowths and institutionalizations of Joint Terrorism Task Force fusion centers, where we're taking what's done in the White House Situation Room and running our own Ohio version of it in Cleveland, because maybe Columbus too, but where, you know, we're being on alert and monitoring where there might be threats of somebody driving a pickup truck badly in the woods and shooting off a shotgun or something. Or attending a zoning board meeting or watching a movie that the well-paid Tom Ridge thinks is a bad movie that you shouldn't be watching.
But what if the popcorn was really greasy and possibly combustible in a, say, an eco-mobile that a lot of them eco-types, you know, they run off grease and oil? I mean, couldn't there be some possible connection there?
Well, I mean, if there was too much trans fat in the popcorn grease, you might have to call Mayor Bloomberg in New York to make a regulation about serving it or something.
What if the popcorn, the grease of the popcorn could be put in as a combustible in some form of automobile?
Then I guess the automobile would go.
So, yeah, we're trying to put together this strange new Red Scare, or is it possibly the new COINTELPRO?
I think that it's... calling it the new COINTELPRO is a good start, but it's its own beast. It's not a single program. COINTELPRO was sort of a groundbreaker that's a set of tactics, and the Red Scare was sort of a way of looking at it. These are good historical precedents, but this is what we're seeing here.
Is this lamer and more bureaucratic and potentially more dangerous because they now have these big budgets, and to justify those big budgets, they're out looking at supposed eco-terrorists and manufacturing them as needed? Or is it just somebody doing a favor for the gas and oil industry?
I think that it's less bureaucratic because these fusion centers represent a way to horizontalize operations.
And what do you mean by a fusion center?
A Joint Terrorism Task Force fusion center is not just where you have a task force that's a multi-agency task force, but it's an actual center where they have their investigators and their analysts and all their resources literally pooled in the same office, in the same room, in the same building. You have the guy from the DEA in the cubicle next to the guy from the FBI and the cubicle next to the guy from the Pennsylvania State Patrol. They're all like literally working together in the same organization, in the same office. They don't call each other. They hand post-it notes across the room. That's what a... So it's designed to be less bureaucratic, more horizontal, more network-oriented, more information age. Are they doing favors for the oil and gas industry? Of course. That's their orientation. They refer to the fracking industry as a national economic, an economic national security priority, and they refer to it as critical infrastructure. And the instant that you use the buzzword critical infrastructure, it's to be protected the same way a fracking well deserves the same protection as a bridge or a dam. It's critical national infrastructure.
Because the oil and gas attorney that we referenced earlier was raising the issue that people trespassing to try to stop waste from coming into Ohio were in fact terrorists because they were interfering with interstate commerce.
I think that that attorney was not very good in making the... He read the wrong talking points in the memo that he got. Otherwise, he would have said critical infrastructure. He would have used the critical infrastructure buzzword, or he was just trying to...
What are they referring to? Critical, like if you block a bridge or threaten a bridge?
Or blow up a bridge or blow up a dam.
But it's clear that these people, at least the ones...
Or destroy a hospital, right? Critical infrastructure.
But none of that appears to be happening.
Correct. Nobody's even thinking about it. Well, I don't know what people are thinking.
Well, the people thinking about it appear to be the FBI and the state police in Pennsylvania and whatever these Fusion Center Homeland Security people, whoever they are.
Yeah, they're thinking about it, and they're thinking about other people doing it. But on another level, it's a matter of orientation, right? The corporate national security state has determined that fracking is going to happen. If I look further and further into fracking, it's clear that the next step for the fracking industry is to build a pipeline across Pennsylvania to truck liquid natural gas to the coast.
And hopefully a pipeline to bring radioactive waste material into the hellhole of it all, Ohio.
Well, I mean, like we say in the computer industry, garbage in, garbage out.
All right, so read this article at columbusfreepress.com or freepress.org. Or Thursday, you'll be hearing this on Monday, Thursday, in the Columbus Free Press.
I mean, yep, I like to have people read what I write, but also be alert. Do not let these people threaten you. Go see a movie if you want to see a movie. Go to a meeting if you want to go to a meeting. Go and protest if you can't take it anymore. And do it early. Do it often. We've got a planet to save.
And speaking of a demonstration protest zoning meeting, we've got one of those Tuesday night. What's the date there?
That would be Tuesday the 25th. At 7 p.m. at 757 Carolyn Avenue here in Columbus. there are a number of citizens of Old Town East that are very upset about a new development project that's being crammed through that needs massive zoning variances to go through, that will change the character of the neighborhood, that has architecture out of step with the neighborhood, and frankly speaking, is priced beyond the reach of anyone who lives in the neighborhood. I understand that a number of local residents and business owners are against this and will be attending this zoning adjustment board meeting in droves.
So the BZA, the Board of Zoning Adjustment on Caroline Avenue, Tuesday at 7 o'clock, will be taking into consideration these requests for variance. By who?
Well, that's very interesting. The request is being officially made by a company called the Woods Development Group, which is at the head of a consortium of either three or five development companies. If you can figure out which LLC owns what, but basically they want to throw up these really ugly townhouses on a lot on Parsons Avenue and rent them for $1,500 to $2,000 a pop, which is way out of step with what a rental unit goes for. The developers in question seem to have wrapped themselves in a number of disposable companies and seem very, very well connected to local politics and bound and determined to push this project through. And it appears as though the residents of this portion of Old Town East are none too amused with the forced change in character of their neighborhood and where they live and how they live.
Is this fitting in with the overlay and the architectural standards of the historic neighborhood?
No. This building looks like what Prince Charles would characterize as brutalist architecture and what I would characterize as American neo-fascist. It's a, you know, your basic glass and steel monster with, you know, some fake stone thrown on the front to make it look like it was... It doesn't look like a building from the 1890s. It's out of historical character. It looks like... I mean, more than one person has said, gosh, that looks like the old Ohio Penitentiary. It's
new Ohio Condo Penitentiary. Pay $1,833 a month on average to get yourself a cell.
Well, I mean, the townhomes are not bigger, much bigger than cells. I mean, they're talking about 800 and 1,600 square foot units.
Whoa.
You know, and but somehow this is a luxury townhome. I'm sorry, 1,600 square feet does not meet my definition as a former builder of the word luxury.
Well, it is kind of luxury in San Francisco, Manhattan.
Yeah, and Cambodia. you know, you can get a lot of square footage for. I mean, it's not a lot of square footage. It's not a pretty building. They need massive zoning variances for it, and nobody wants it but the people that stand to make money off it, as per usual.
All right, and one more time, there'll be a meeting on February 25th, Tuesday, at 7 o'clock. Where's that at, Jerry?
757 Carolyn Avenue.
757 Carolyn Avenue, it's the Board of Zoning Adjustment, the BZA. And the people against this project are urging people to come out and voice their opposition?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Are they terrorists, Jerry?
No. And unlike the people that are pushing this monstrosity through, they're also not...
Who are architectural terrorists!
And more importantly, they're not from the neighborhood, making them architectural tourists as well.
All right, you've listened to The Other Side of the News. Thanks a lot, Jerry, for being my guest.
And thanks for having me over.